Morning, everybody. Just get this all in the right places. I was upside down, you're right. Okay. Tick. 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 What's your relationship with time? When I spoke 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Let My People Go and how God wants to free us from whatever it is that snares us and traps us. And during that, I shared that I struggle with time. And I would love to be free from time. And so much so that in the second service, for which a lot of you were in, I ensnared you and trapped you by preaching a particularly long sermon. Because I wasn't looking at my watch, I was more involved in what I felt God wanted to share. So I don't apologize for it, but I just think it was quite ironic that that was the case. And I was only reminded of that on Friday when I was finalizing my slides and putting them together, and I realized I was talking about time and how I had already shared with you that it's one of the areas I struggle with, and also because of the timing. And I just thought it was ironic. I love it when God moves in that way. And he may be talking to others about time as well in general, or maybe that's just for me and it's just that's why they're linked. But after the wilderness... No, so I put that, but it's not the wilderness. After the promise of letting my people go, of course, we get the wilderness. So God frees the Israelites from Egypt, but actually they then spend much longer, much, much longer than they should have done in the wilderness. And we have wilderness times, don't we? I don't know what season everybody is in. But we have those wilderness times, those desert times, and we hear people standing here and preaching, and but that doesn't necessarily help us when we're in it. And we can be trained in that time, and we can moan in that time, much like the Israelites did. Oh, what are we doing here? It was much better in Egypt and all that. But the reason that we have to go through these times, and the reason the Israelites had to go through those times, as I shared, was to get the rubbish out. We needed to get Egypt out of them. They were out of Egypt. They needed to get Egypt out of them. Jesus came to get us out of the world. We need to get the world out of us. We need to be transformed more and more into Christ-likeness. But why else? Why else might we go through tough times? And I think God uses these things to develop character. Maybe it's as a consequence of a sin. Maybe it's other people. Maybe it's just to ensure that we go on a journey that we didn't necessarily want to go on, but actually it was the journey we were supposed to go on. And I double-checked with Sharon before. Hi, Bubby. Just because she said she'd be watching. I double-checked with Sharon before if I could share this. But when we talk about a journey and the journeys you go on, I think Sharon, one of Sharon's testimonies is fantastic. So when Sharon was doing her A-levels, there were lots of issues. She suffered, she had friends who suffered, but she didn't get the grade she wanted to go to vet school. And that's all Sharon ever wanted, was to go to vet school. Her world fell apart. And she went to Bristol to study anatomy and physiology, not knowing what was in store, but that was the best offer that she felt that she could do. And also they promised that if she did well, she could get into their vet school. And she did do well. She came out with an honours degree, really enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. Time came to start vet school, and actually there was no place for her. And her world fell apart again, and she ended up going to all the way to London, which from a girl that doesn't go out of Wales very often, Bristol was just over the bridge. Hey, Bubby, just over the bridge, so that's all right. Granny's just in Bristol. But actually she had to go even further away from home, not knowing what's in store. But at the end of that story, we come to now. And she now says, I know what that journey was all about. Because Sharon is now a vet who teaches in the vet school at Aberystwyth University with a bias. Her subject she teaches more than anything is, of course, anatomy and physiology. God knew what he was doing in her life. The other thing by moving her to London is that we met and got married. Now, some of you might say, well, that doesn't sound like a good deal. But she assures me that's also a good deal. And it certainly was for me, because if I hadn't have gone, I was thinking of going to Bristol because it's closer to home for me to vet school, but I actually went, I did all right in my A-level, so I was able to go there straight. Sharon joined us in second year, I went to London. If I hadn't have gone to London, I'm not sure, God would have still got me. I was brought up as a Christian, but it was actually an invitation through going with to see you from Sharon that I actually was born again. So there's so many things, and we can look at it and think, oh, this is a disaster. But God can turn these things around, right? So I want to just look at a familiar verse that often we hear at in funerals and not always preach from the front. I was at a little retreat last week, and this was part of the subject of that, and I had been thinking about it anyway, but this got me going. And I just want to share some things from this as we look at time and seasons. So if you're able and willing, Julia, can I ask you to advance that slide when we get to the right place, please? Because I tried to do both this morning, and I got really quite confused. So I got to do it on my screen as well. So there's three slides, and if you're happy to read it together, let's just read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Thank you. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's mind, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Lord, as we just dive into this scripture, as we explore what you've laid on my heart, may my words be your words. And may our hearts be all receptive to the message that you've got for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. It starts off, for everything there is a season. What's in a season? A season is an appointed occasion. And God is at the center of it all. That's an appointed occasion. And I don't know what season you are in. Which word or words registered with you? This time using the easy to read version just to change the wording slightly. But just have a look at those words on the screen and how contrasting they are. There's lots of things there that are mentioned that we'd rather do without, I'm sure. We said that these seasons are ordained, they're appointed times, if you like. Yet we see kill, we see cry, we see war. I don't know about you, but I haven't really got time for any of that. But there's an appointed time for these things. It may surprise you even that actually God, through his word, is saying, this is what you're going to go through. But friends, this is life. This is life. And sometimes in these darkest, deepest times is when God does his best and greatest work. I'm not so fussed this morning. Fussed is the wrong word. I'm not concentrating this morning on how you got into this season. That's not the point of this morning's word. I'm not worried so much how you got there. We're going to concentrate on what you're going to do when what now you're there. Because the reason you could be in that season could be so many. We live in a fallen world. It could be your sin has got you in that place. There's a consequence to all our actions. But it could also be to somebody else, a consequence of somebody else's sin that's put you there. It could be because this world, this creation is broken. We live in a world where we can choose to say yes or no. And sometimes there are consequences. There's always consequences. It could even be the enemy is the reason you're in the season. But whatever the reason for the season, the way we respond should be the same. How are you going to grow in your current season? So that we can say this phrase that we've heard quite often in Elim, I've heard it lots of times, I've said it, I've heard others say it, that out of the mess comes a message, a beautiful message. Because that's what it says in verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. If what you're going through isn't beautiful yet, guess what? God hasn't finished with it. It's going to be beautiful in its time. It's still being coloured in if you're the butterfly. Or maybe it's to do with your perspective. I was trying to find a pixelated image that I could zoom in and just show you one or two of the pixels, and it didn't quite work. But that white square represented there zooming in on this beautiful coloured butterfly. And actually, it's a bit brown and a yellowy, greeny colour, and it's not really that great a colour. Because we're looking at it not as we're supposed to look at the whole picture. We're looking at a tiny little bit. And it might be that the season you're going through is a little brown, little dirty little bit. But actually, if you step back and you can see it like God sees it, you see the greater picture. And your little brownie bit is actually causing a little bit of a beautiful bit of shading in the picture that without it wouldn't look so beautiful. Oh, that God would give us eyes to see things like he does and to see his perspective. But sometimes he doesn't. And we have to trust God knows what he's doing. It could just be that it's a part of the bigger picture and we haven't seen it yet. You'll be familiar with the story in Esther where Esther becomes the queen, and the king sets out a decree that he's going to kill the Jews. And Mordecai says to Esther, come on, step up. Because he says, for if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's house will perish. I.e., if you don't step up, God is still going to achieve his purposes and he's going to use somebody else. And you may not benefit. In fact, he says, you and your family will perish. That's pretty not benefiting. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Are you in your current season for such a time as this? Can you think of times in your own life when God has worked in something that you didn't see it in the beginning, but afterwards it made perfect sense? Ah, that's what you were up to. Clever. Ah, that's why you did that. That's why that had to happen. I get it now. At the time, I didn't. Lord, you know, I shouted at you. I tried to get out of the situation. But actually, funnily enough, God, you knew. And you work good out of that. Thank you, Lord. Let's encourage each other. This is a slide from that sermon that I did a couple of weeks ago. And this is where the Israelites have been moaning. And God just tries to remind them of what was going on. You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Remember, guys, I brought you out. God had to remind those whinging Israelites of what he'd done as they moaned their way through their current season, their wilderness season. Oh, if only they'd seen what God was trying to do to get Egypt out of them. They'd left Egypt, now they needed Egypt out of them. Oh, that we would see these seasons that we're going through God's eyes and understand that they're necessary sometimes for ultimate benefit of ours or the kingdom or God's plans. Maybe then we would embrace these times and trust God in them. So let's agree that we're going to encourage each other. When one brother or sister is down, that we're going to encourage them and remind them of the good things in their life, that they too will remember, actually, you know, God is at work in my life. I can't see it right now. I really have no clue what on earth is going on and why. I haven't got the foggiest idea, but I know God does. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Romans chapter 8, great passage. Haven't got time to read all of it. If I could, I would just bombard you with lots of scriptures, but I've got to pull out a few. So Romans chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be. We know that in everything, God works for good for those who love him. That's me, and I'm hoping that's most of you. I'm sure it is. Who are called according to the purposes. God knew them before he made the world. God knew what you were going to be going through. And he decided that they would be like his son. We will have glory in the future. And it's all about this and how God is going to work for our good. It's quite reassuring, isn't it, that if you mess up, if you go off the beaten track, actually, in everything, God works for God, good, for those who love him. How reassuring. Don't beat yourself up if the season you're in is because of a bad turn. God can work in that. This is God the Creator. I think he can cope with a little bit of a mishap that you made. Remember at the start of Ecclesiastes, that passage we read, it said, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. It talks about under heaven. It also talks about, in the Ecclesiastes, under the sun. And I think the two phrases get used 30, 31 times. I'm not really sure. I didn't count myself. It's what I've read throughout the whole book. And what's it referring to? Under the heaven or under the sun? It's referring to this time now where we are in the world, our present time. Because in heaven is outside of time. Yes, can't wait. Got to though, because that's time. And I'm in time at the moment. So when we get to heaven, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be finished. There ain't going to be no sin or death. And we're going to have eternity. Woohoo! And then towards the end of that passage, what gain has the worker from his toil? Men's toil doesn't change the seasons. We're always going to go through seasons. You can't avoid going through seasons in life. That's part of time. That's part of life. Doesn't matter what you do, you're always going to be in a season. And there's going to be things that happen to you. That's not fair. Guess what, kids? Gwen and Osh, what do we say about life? Life's not fair. Life's not fair, guys. You're going to go through seasons. And often we're not going to see the reason for the season. It's almost Christmassy. We're not going to see the reason for the season until we're in heaven and outside of time, when we look at this bigger picture. He cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We're told that. We're not going to know the whole plan. We don't know the whole story. Well, we don't know the whole plan. We know the result, right? But we don't know the whole plan. We must make an effort, though. We've got to endure. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Preach the word however you're feeling. Maybe you're in the season you're in so that you can relate to somebody else that's going through that season. Maybe you're in the season you're in because actually now you're meeting people that you would have never met if you weren't in this season. And it could be the worst season. I'm not making light of anybody's current situation. Please don't hear me say that. But God can use it, right? If you wait to be in the right season to do something that God has ordained you to do, then you may never ever do it, or you may not get that chance again. Do it now. God is with you. Always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. When I prepare for these sort of things, I think they're called sermons. When I prepare for sermons, I will often do a little bit of internet search. I've got my Strong's book and I've got my other books, but also there's the wonder of the internet. And I can look and I can see, testing every spirit, because that's what we're told to do, I can see how other people have interpreted or what sort of imagery they've used from these passages. And I found a church in California where they've done a whole series on the imagery of agriculture in faith. Yes. So great. And their phrase, if you like, their caption throughout this whole thing was, don't just go through it, grow through it. I love that. Don't just go through it, grow through it. Use every opportunity to grow into the likeness of Christ, which ultimately is what's God's desire for you. Each one of you. That's the maturity of a Christian, when we're like Christ. And let us not grow weary in well doing. For in due season, there it is again, God's timing, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Keep going. You will reap. You may not see the reap. You may have been called home before what you did comes in. But it will reap. Your good works will eventually reap a harvest. Notice how this doesn't say when. That's not for us to know. Why should that matter? If we really trust what God is up to, let's hope it, we should. Let's face it, we should. Then actually, we don't need to know those details. We just do our bit, surely. Because we're not doing it for the reward. We've already had the reward. Many Bible verses talk about a certain season, when the time is right. But they don't specify dates and times, although many have tried. We should be encouraged that the seasons will come and they will go. And we can trust God's timing is perfect. Let's let go of our agenda, self-will, independence, pride, effort, or whatever means that we're trying to use to make things happen in our strength. Let God move as he wants to move, when he wants to move. How many times have you let go of something you were clinging tightly to only to get it back or to be given something? For me, the idea of a soulmate, oh wow, getting emotional. The whole idea of getting a soulmate, a wife. As a young adult, I was hurt in my first few years at university. I was hurt. Okay, I always thought I was going to have a wife and family, Lord, but no, it's not going to happen now. I let go. I just give it to you. And within a few weeks, Sharon and I were, what do we say now? I don't know. At the time, we were courting. We were starting to go out. And we ended up getting married. Now, that's not for everybody, But it's, I had to let go of my dreams and desires first before that happened. Same as when I quit vet practice. My identity was being a vet in practice. And I was struggling with health. I was struggling with my time. I was struggling with everything. And God just said, quit. But that's me. That's what I do. My mum goes around telling everybody, my son, the vet. That's what I am. And I let go. We went on holiday. While I was on holiday, somebody offered me a part-time job which would work well and ease me back into working. And now I too am teaching at the vet school in a job I love. Sometimes God wants us to move, but we stop or we don't trust him. And so things don't move. His timing is perfect. In Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he wants to know what his dream means. And he asks his advisors, what does this dream mean? And they said, well, tell us your dream. He said, don't be silly. You tell me the dream. Oh, I can't do that. And we know what happens. But whilst Daniel is in prison, the king's dream gets revealed to him. Daniel says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He changes times and seasons. God is in charge. He changes the times and seasons and uses them to achieve his purpose. How are you going to respond in your current season? One of my favorite films, Heaven Almighty. Not Hughes, by the sound of it. Morgan Freeman plays God. And I used a quote from this film, which I'm going to read out. But I thought to myself when I was preparing for this, oh, but they've heard this recently. I was horrified to realize it was July 2014. So for those of you who were here, that's how long ago it was. Those of you who won't, you don't got a clue what I'm talking about, and actually it's not around anymore because we weren't recording things at the time. But one of our responses to a challenging time is to complain our way through. And this can prolong it. Think of the Israelites in Egypt. We waste opportunities that he gives us by moaning and not seeing now is the time, this now for a season, now for a time as this. And in this film, God here is sat at the bar. It's not quite accurate theologically, but God will meet us in any situation, so why not meet us at the bar? But anyway, God is at the bar, Evan's wife there, she's a little bit upset because Evan has heard from God and has been told to build an ark in the middle of the United States and has no idea why he needs to do it, but he's been obedient and does it. How often when God tells us to do something, do we worry about what other people are going to think? No, God, that's wacky. No, God, excuse me, no, God. But anyway, he was obedient and he did it. And she's having a bit of, oh, what's going on with my husband? He's a little bit, ooh. And she'd been praying prior to this for some time together with the family. And this is what God says. I can't do Morgan Freeman's voice, so I'm not even going to try. No, I'm not. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If he prayed for courage, does God give him courage or does he give him the opportunity to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings or does he give them opportunities to love each other? God can use the situations you are in to refine your character, to give you what he knows you need. And just remember, do not ignore this one fact, beloved. That's nice of me. Do not ignore this one fact, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Put Ecclesiastes together with this verse. We can be confident that there's going to be a time for every purpose God has for us, but that the timing may not quite be what we think it will be. And remember, not the former things, nor consider the things of old, because God says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Psalm 30, I'd encourage you to read the whole lot. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but again, just taking a few verses out. Because often our response to challenging times, as I've already said, is to complain, which may prolong the situation. We mustn't waste these opportunities. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor for a lifetime. That's a long time. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. Amen. I don't know what season you're in. I know some of your seasons. I don't know everybody's season. But if you're waiting for this season to finish before doing something that you know God is asking you to do or is wanting you to do, then it may never happen. Maybe have you not come to the situation that you find yourself in for such a time as this? In a minute, I'm going to ask us to pray this prayer together. But I want you to read it first, because I only want you to pray it with me if you mean it. Because you're offering and recommitting your life to God and his purpose. So for those, if you feel, yeah, I want to pray this, then we're going to pray it together. For those who don't, that's fine. Just hear the words. Okay. Father, you have positioned me here at this moment. How would you like to use me? How can I make myself available to you so that your plans can be accomplished in this place where I am, who I am with, that you want me to complete? Father, I choose to trust your timeline and believe that you will accomplish your promises to me at the perfect time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have just prayed that prayer, be prepared for things to move, for opportunities. And I just pray that you have a blessed week. Thank you all. Amen.
Amen.